Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist with Immunutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. And Amber, welcome back to the airwaves.
Thanks for having me again.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
How you been?
Not too bad. Enjoying the slightly cooler weather.
Right. It's kind of, how does that hot weather affect one's nutrition?
Well, hydration certainly impacts that.
It
impacts what we want to eat. Nobody wants to sit down and have a bowl of chili when it's 95 degrees outside.
Well, I have a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and a glass of milk.
That's right. Both. We talked about that last time.
That's right.
All right. Now, this time we're going to talk about low-carb diets and diabetes today.
That's right.
All right. So tell us about it. What should we know?
I will. Well, you know, this topic kind of came to me because a new study came out, and I'll get to that here in a moment, but I thought it was really interesting. So I thought it might be a good topic to talk about today. A lot of people are following low carb diets for a lot of reasons, or even as far as keto. We'll talk about what the difference is between those two. But first I thought it might be helpful to have a little refresher on what is a carbohydrate. So we talk about low carb diets. And
okay, just what is a carbohydrate?
Yeah, well, do you remember?
I don't remember. I thought about that when we were going to start this. You know, you hear about low carbs and carbs and all this, but what is it? So, yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of misconceptions too. So, as dietitians, there's always this running joke, or there's all sorts of memes in like dietitian Facebook groups and stuff about people who say that they quit eating sugar. I don't eat any sugar, or I eat I quit eating all carbs. Well, maybe you did, but carbs are really anything that's made up of different sugar molecules. So this includes things like breads and pastas, crackers, chips, kind of the things that people think of as standard carbs. So whether it's whole grain or refined, like in its true form, or processed, it's a carb. Also things like candies and desserts, any kind of sweets like that, pop, all of that is a carb. But it also includes a lot of our whole foods, things like fruits and starchy vegetables. And like I mentioned, whole grains, yogurt, milk is considered a carb. It often has, well, it has protein and often has fat as well. But we count it as a carb when we're talking about just macronutrient balance. So then if all of those things are carbohydrates, what is a low carb diet? How do we define a low carb diet? Well, that depends. Some people define their low-carb diet as just not eating grains. I would say that's a really common one. People just quit eating sweets or quit eating grains or both, and then say they're on a low-carb diet. Sure, there's no real definition. Typically, when we look at research or when we're reading articles about it, it'll be a diet that's below 100 to 150 grams of carbohydrate per day. Keto, or the ketogenic diet, is one that's dropped even lower. So that's usually like 25 to 50 grams of carb or net carb per day. Medical keto is even more strict. So when we think about people who are using the ketogenic diet for epilepsy or something like that, that is far more strict than kind of the pop culture keto diet that people follow. But other low-carb diets that people might follow that you might be familiar with would be like Atkins or modified Atkins. Most people have heard of those. The carnivore diet has really gained popularity. That's essentially a carb-free diet or an almost carb-free diet. And then paleo, which tends to be pretty low in carbs too. So why do people follow these low-carb diets? Do you think they follow them?
Well, I don't know, because it says here that you need some carbs in your diet in order to... it says they're essential food nutrients to your body, and it turns into glucose to give you energy to function. So everybody needs energy. So I suppose you go cut them out too much, you're going to become a little listless and dragging around the house. Huh?
So when you cut out all those carbs, because you're right, glucose is our body's primary form of energy. Now, when we're not getting enough glucose, our body can use ketone bodies, which is where keto or the ketogenic diet comes from, is our body switches to burning fat instead. So it could also switch to burning protein, muscle mass, and that's not good if we start to eat our own muscle mass. That's a completely different topic for a different day. But we can use ketones and we can use glucose. Now, either one is okay, but glucose is what our body uses most readily. Our liver stores something called glycogen, which it can go through a process called gluconeogenesis, where it makes glucose out of the glycogen that we've stored from carbs or proteins. So a lot of people drop their carbs down because they think it's healthier, sometimes for medical reasons, often for weight loss, and now more recently for type 2 diabetes. So is it truly effective for these? It certainly comes with some side effects, like you probably will see in that article, like constipation is really common, because if we cut out carbs, that means we're cutting out fiber. And if we cut out fiber, we can change how much our, or how well our gut is working. It can really slow things down quite a bit. Now, the challenge in exploring true effectiveness is that most of the studies that we have on any of these diets are short term, or less than like a year long. So we do see a loss of weight. We do see improvement in blood sugar control, or improvement in A1C, which is our longer term, kind of 3-month-ish blood sugar control. But we don't have a lot of studies that have looked at, if we follow these diets for a long time, what happens. Now, animal studies, I think the first kind of studies around this, or the more recent ones, started around 2017, 2018. There were some animal studies that came out that showed, well, when we put these mice on a ketogenic diet or a very low carb diet, we actually increase their risk of developing type 2 diabetes. We make their liver less resistant to being able, or less, I should say, efficient at being able to manage all of this. Now, the study that I mentioned at the beginning that just came out was a very large study, over 125,000 postmenopausal women. And those who had more strict ketogenic ratios, or the ratio of fat to carbs plus protein, kind of an oversimplified version of that equation, but the people with those higher ketogenic ratios were found to be more likely to develop diabetes. And this is an observational study, which means that they're just letting these women go on with their lives and then checking in with them at certain intervals. And the average time frame that these women were followed was about 18 years, just under 18 years. So that gives us a much longer term perspective on kind of the impact of these low carb diets long term. Now, that's not to say that if you follow the ketogenic diet, or that if you follow a very low carb diet, you are going to develop diabetes. It just is kind of contradicts some of the information that we have now, or some of the reasons that we use it, which is primarily in some cases to get blood sugars under control, which it really does appear to do in the short term. So our question kind of is it a good short-term diet that we then liberalize to make a little bit more balanced in the long run, or is it putting us at risk initially and we just don't see the results of it for 10 or 15 years? And I don't have the answer to that right now. I wish I did.
Ask in 10 or 15 years.
That's right. That's right. So there are certainly some risks that come with these. And for that reason, I just want to kind of emphasize how important it is to work with your care team if you're cutting back carbs, especially if you're cutting out whole food groups. But safe ways to do it. I generally don't recommend a low-carb diet. Often we cut back on carbs, but low-carb, not a lot of times that I would suggest it.
It says here that another article I was looking at, it said they're useful, low-carb diets are useful in the short term to lose weight, as you said,
yes,
low blood pressure or whatever. But in the long term, they're linked with increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease, cancer, and a few other things. So,
and that's just it. You know, again, when we think about cutting out carbs, I mentioned fiber, but we're also cutting out phytonutrients. And usually with these diets, we focus on getting a lot of fat, which can also decrease the amount of protein that we're getting. And if we're really focused on animal fats, which I've said before, they're not our enemy. Animal products are not bad, but are we getting enough of the omega-3 fats that we need? So a lot of times when we follow these low-carb diets, there are some things that might make us healthier initially, but we really need to look at what that diet looks like in the long run to make sure we're getting all of those things we need for true long-term health.
That's why they should probably consult with a nutritionist.
They should.
Dietitian, before
that's right. I know one.
Before embarking on one of these journeys, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
Get some good advice, because it's a little different for everybody.
It is different for everybody.
No one size fits all.
Nope. So. If there was, I wouldn't have a job.
That's right. Well, speaking of your job, how can they find you?
That's right. Well, you can find me online. You can look on Facebook at IMU Nutrition. That's IMU Nutrition. Or you can find me on my website at imunutrition.com. If you live locally and want to chat, you can also call up to the clinic here in Madison and meet with me there.
That's right. Call the radio station. We'll find you.
You got it.
All right. And we'll find you again next week for another Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Have a good week.